Dog, 1330 FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. I am your host, Josh Engel. Today, we have Tanner Health System in the studio with us today. We have Paula Gresham. Gresham, pronounce that right? Excellent. Absolutely. She's the Vice President of Behavioral Health Services with Willowbrook at Tanner. Paula Gresham serves as Vice President and Administrator for Willowbrook at Tanner, a 92-bed inpatient behavioral health facility in Villa Rica. Gresham has been instrumental in developing crisis evaluation assessments at Tanner and has also played a significant role in building the behavioral health model, outpatient services, and the partial hospitalization program at Willowbrook at Tanner. She and her team are establishing initiatives to affect growth and expansion of behavioral health services and treatment resources offered in West Georgia. Today's key message in honor of not only September being Suicide Awareness Month, but today is actually Suicide Awareness Day, as well. Also, this month is Recovery Month, so it's a very, very important month. So we're very pleased to have Mrs. Gresham on the show with us. So we're going to be talking about bringing awareness to suicide prevention and how you can support those in your life who are struggling. Good morning,
good
Paula.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Might have to get a little closer to that microphone. There we go. All right.
Better?
Yes, much better. So I was going to ask you to tell us a bit about yourself, but then I just went and read this whole bio. So is there anything else you'd like to share about yourself, your family, anything you'd like to let listeners at home know about you?
Yeah, that's kind of me professionally, but personally, just want to say that I grew up in this community, went to school here, met my husband here. We just celebrated our 27th year of marriage, Dustin Gresham, who I'm married to. And we have two beautiful children that we raised in this community, Aiden and Olivia Gresham.
Congratulations, 27 years of happy marriage, 26 years with Tanner Health Service.
Yes.
System. And I just want to remind everyone tuning in at home, we are live streaming this morning on our WLBB Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for our guests, please feel free to throw those in the chat. I'd be happy to read those to her. So thank you again for coming on. I feel like a good place to start might be sharing some statistics to sort of establish a baseline for listeners at home on the severity of this issue worldwide.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good place to start. And the reason that I would like to start with statistics is because I do just want everyone to know that suicide touches everyone. And the statistics are staggering. And that's why we have this month and this day that we really want to bring awareness to all of those who have either suffered themselves, have loved ones that have suffered with suicidal ideations, or those who have completed suicide. So the U.S. has one death every 11 minutes by suicide. One death every 11 minutes. One person dies every 11 minutes by suicide. And the CDC reports that suicide was the second leading cause of death among our youth and young adults. So that's significant, right? That shows us it touches everyone. And for people that are age 10 to 14 and 25 to 34, we skip a few years in between there, it was the second leading cause of death in the U.S. And it increased significantly among different populations within the U.S., but more than 950,000 youth ages 12 to 17 and 1.6 million adults attempted suicide in the past year.
Wow. That's staggering.
It is.
To really put it in perspective
it
like
is.
That. And this is something that, as you mentioned, you know, everyone is impacted by in some way or another. Either a family member, a friend's family member, friends from school, coworkers. I mean, a lot of times folks that serve together in the military.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, this is something that a lot of folks will kind of try to put on the back burner because it's not maybe immediately affecting them. But it has. And if it hasn't, it will, because this is something that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think the other thing that statistics do, and in my opinion, is anyone who is suffering, who maybe is contemplating or has thought about it, you know, it's super important for them to know that they're not alone.
Absolutely. And speaking of not being alone, we have our first comment on the live stream, Bridget Stewart. She actually threw in two comments. She says, thank you for being a part of the panel for the Georgia Recovers bus tour. We were just talking about that last week at the University of West Georgia. Great information, Paula. And she also says, QPR training is a great awareness training for the community. So we'll need to be sure to touch that before the show ends so folks can get more information about that kind of training. Common signs of suicidal behavior. What are things that people should maybe keep an eye out in their family members, coworkers, friends? What are signs that they might be contemplating suicide?
Yeah, I think the number one sign is if someone starts talking about it. I think that we are kind of programmed to feel like it's a little bit taboo, maybe a little uncomfortable, an uncomfortable subject, but certainly that is one of the biggest signs if someone starts talking about it. But before they get there, obviously feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, people becoming withdrawn. We talked a little bit about it before we got started, you know, staying in the bed a little bit longer than usual. Substance use as well, particularly in adults. If someone is using pretty heavy, that's a significant sign as well. And then just not having hope for the future, talking about, you know, I don't have any hope for the future. But I would like to say, you know, that number one sign is if we're talking about it. And for us not to shy away from having that conversation.
So I think that segues nice into the next question. So how can friends and family members recognize these signs, and what should they do if they notice them?
I think that recognizing the signs, if you know someone and you know what their typical behavior is, and so if you start recognizing those signs, you know, the number one thing you can do is just ask, how are you doing? Is everything okay? And ask the question, have you thought about suicide? Are you thinking about suicide? People used to believe that if we brought the subject up, that maybe it would put it into someone's head. But we know that is not real. Often people don't know how to even express how they're feeling. I just have these feelings of hopelessness. No one wants me to be around. I'm not worth anything, or I'm a burden to others. And so they don't really know how to express it. It's okay to talk about it.
Effective prevention strategies. So what are some effective strategies for preventing suicide?
The number one effective strategy about preventing suicide is talking about it. The stigma is still there for mental health and substance abuse issues. People are still uncomfortable talking about it. People are not as educated as they should be about it. And so the number one strategy for preventing is really being part of a community who wants to have healthy community leaders and are willing to have the conversation and talk about it. Talk about the prevention. Talk about what healthy looks like. But I would say also a huge preventative strategy is just being there for someone, being willing to listen, and then understanding yourself, doing some research and understanding how can I get help. When it gets to a point where I am very concerned about someone, where do I turn? The number one reason that people don't seek help for substance abuse or mental health issues is access to care. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to talk to. And so educating yourself on where can I seek help for a friend or myself.
Can you discuss the role of mental health professionals in suicide prevention?
I think that we have perhaps the largest role in talking about prevention. That's why we have this month, is to really get the word out, to talk about what can we do and to have those conversations in our community. But then obviously, you know, our role is to help that individual, keep them safe and help them through whatever they may be struggling with.
Time is 8:39. We're going to go and take our first commercial break. But when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Paula Gresham, Vice President of Behavioral Health Services at Willowbrook at Tanner, both live on the radio as well as our live stream, the live video coverage on our WLBB Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments that are brewing in your heart, please feel free to throw those in the chat, and we'll throw those out to Mrs. Gresham, and we can talk about it. But yes, we're going to go ahead and take that first break. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. Today is September 10th. I think that the mic went a little finicky there for a second. Today is September 10th, and we are having a conversation with Paula Gresham, Vice President of Behavioral Health Services at Willowbrook at Tanner. We are live streaming this morning's program on our WLBB Facebook page. Just a reminder, if you have any questions or comments for our guest, feel free to throw those in the chat. And if you missed out on this program, be sure to check out the full podcast of this episode, which will be uploaded to this station's website as well as graticommunications.com. This is Suicide Awareness Month, so let's help out our neighbors, family, and friends by sharing this show and bringing attention to this very, very important conversation. Effective prevention strategies. So what are some effective strategies for preventing suicide?
The number one strategy to preventing suicide is educating yourself on what are the signs and symptoms of someone who may be contemplating suicide. I think for individuals, the number one strategy is seeking help, knowing when you have the opportunity, but more importantly, knowing how to seek help. And at Willowbrook, we have done our mission has been to make sure that people have access to care. And that's super, super important within our community.
Can you discuss the role? Let's see here, actually. How important is community support in the fight against suicide?
Community support is extremely important. And really, community support, the importance of community support starts with decreasing the stigma. So being comfortable about talking about it, making sure that people feel safe. I often say, and I think some of the statistics show this too, that, you know, if a loved one or someone that you knew was in the hospital or they had, you know, they were ill, they had surgery, what would you do? You would bake a nice casserole, take it over to their house, spend a little time with them, maybe even wash their dishes for them, right? Mental health and mental illness, substance abuse issues is no different. That's certainly a gesture that could help save someone's life. Something as simple as just showing up. And that's what we are. That's what our community does. And so for our community to understand and know what those signs and symptoms are, but not being afraid to kind of face it head on, talk about it, but show up for those who are not doing well.
You mentioned earlier, you know, that conversation used to feel taboo, talking about suicide, even as far as people thinking that maybe they are planting the seed, planting the idea accidentally. You told us, you know, you educated us on the fact that that is not true. And if anything, breaking that taboo and having that conversation can really make such a big impact. Now, being there, just the gesture of being there, would you imagine that, I mean, you know, the feelings of not being wanted, the feelings of not being cared for, no one cares, they're a burden to people. Having someone show up and just cook a meal and do some dishes, I mean, that's an investment that you would put into someone you care for.
Absolutely. Again, no different than showing someone who is physically ill or someone who's just had a baby, maybe overwhelmed. That's no different. Just showing up and letting someone know that they're worth it.
So what can communities do to create a more supportive environment for individuals struggling with mental health issues?
I think that this community is doing a great job. First step is things like this, celebrating, coming together and celebrating being aware and having the conversation about suicide awareness. Being willing to celebrate that and being willing to spread the word. I think community support with regards to things like the recovery bus tour that we just had. We had that at the university. That's a phenomenal community to be able to have recovery discussions and mental health suicide prevention discussions within. So I think the community being open to having those conversations, being supportive of those who are struggling with those issues as well is super important.
I mean, it's kind of meta, but just the fact that we're having this conversation right now for all the people tuning in at home, of which there are many viewers actually watching the program right now, just this action seems to go a long way. And I can see, you know, the importance of this being a part of Tanner's mission is scheduling community appearances like this to speak to the greater public, the local community, and let them know it's okay to talk about it. And we'll be okay.
It is certainly a passion of mine. I think I said earlier that, you know, in some age groups, suicide is the second leading cause of death. Wow. And it's the most preventable.
So the importance of awareness. How has the awareness around mental health and suicide prevention evolved in recent years? Because we've established, you know, it used to be pretty taboo, and it was something that people would whisper, you know, like when you were at church and they're like, oh, well, you know, he took his own life, like real quiet, like,
yeah.
And nobody wanted to talk about it before or after. How has that evolved over the years?
Well, I think that we are becoming more willing to talk about what mental health, the actual impact of mental health and mental health issues. I think we are trying to live healthier lives as we have evolved. We've talked a lot about, you know, within our communities, how to be healthy longer, how to live longer lives. And part of that is paying attention to our mental health. Part of that is recognizing when there's an issue before we get to the point of contemplating or having suicidal thoughts or gestures within our community. So I think that it has evolved, but we are not there yet. There is still a stigma that we have to be aware of and have to fight. You know, and you're right, it's not just someone completing suicide that we whispered about or that we were terrified to talk about, embarrassed to talk about if a family or a loved one completed suicide. It's mental illness as well. I say, and of course, this is my background, so I think everyone needs a counselor. Everyone needs a, you know, someone to talk to that is a safe place. Everyone needs that, and everyone deserves that. And we are breaking some of the stigma, especially in the younger generations. People are more willing to talk about needing services or asking for help, but we still have a ways to go. It's still extremely important for us to be aware of that.
Yeah, a lot of media. You mentioned the younger generations. Shows like, I haven't seen it, but 13 Reasons. There are a bunch of shows, media, that has incorporated this very real issue. And I mean, it kind of seems like it's, you know, acclimating it to folks and saying, hey, you know, we can talk about this. And this goes for a lot of other things as well, but especially something like this. You know, you speak about reducing the stigma. And you know, there's nothing, any of these points that may overlap, I love that we're hitting them as many times as possible so we can really get this through to folks. So why is it so important to have open conversations about mental health and suicide?
Well, I mean, it's important so that people can become educated. I said earlier that the number one reason that people don't seek treatment is because of access. You know, it's easy if I have, you know, a physical ailment, I know that I'm going to pick up the phone and call my primary care physician, or I'm going to go to urgent care, right? And those are areas that you can seek help through. They still are. If you go to one of our urgent care centers, if you go to the emergency room, then you're going to get treatment. And they're going to listen and they're going to be sympathetic and they're going to provide that service for you, or at least access to that service. But you also can just walk through the doors of Willowbrook and say, I'm not sure what I need. I don't know who to go to, and we will help you. We provide free confidential screenings, dispositional screenings for anyone who may be in need. So it's important for us to make sure that people understand and know how to access care.
There is kindness and warmth and support just past those double doors.
Absolutely.
At Willowbrook.
Absolutely.
Especially if they run into some of the folks we've had on the program from Willowbrook, yourself included. Very kind, supportive people that that are there to talk about it. There's nothing off limits. Time is 8:50. We're going to go and take our last commercial break. But when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with Vice President of Behavioral Health Services at Willowbrook at Tanner, Paula Gresham, as we talk about Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and how you can support those in your life struggling with suicidal thoughts and depression and many, many other things. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. Time is 8:52. Today is September 10th. I'm your host, Josh Engel. And we are live streaming this morning's program with Paula Gresham, Vice President of Behavioral Health Services at Willowbrook at Tanner, on our WLBB Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for our guest, feel free to throw those in. We got a comment here from Austin Harper. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you, Austin, and Bridget earlier with your comments. This is a very important conversation. This is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month, and we are talking about how you can support those in your life who are struggling with the idea of suicide. So as far as recent developments in the field, in the approach, how have recent studies or advancements in mental health care impacted suicide prevention strategies?
So we talked a little bit about those, you know, not being able to talk about suicide without thinking that you're planting that idea in someone's head. And I think that's perhaps the most important for parents. So we've seen that the conversation is important. So for behavioral health, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, it's not brain surgery. We can't go in and look at someone's brain and dissect it and say, yeah, you have a proclivity for suicidal ideations. So really it's more about how to have the conversation. It's really about how to prevent. What can we do as a community? What can we do as individuals to prevent? And then what are the resources? That is perhaps the biggest part of what we've done to decrease suicide in the U.S. is making sure that we have access to 988, for example. We have really done a lot of work to make sure that 988 is remembered just like 911. You can text, you can call 988. You or a loved one, if you are worried about someone and you don't know what to do, you can call 988. You can text. If someone that you love is having some thoughts of worthlessness or I don't know what to do with my life, I'm concerned, you can use 988, again, text or call. And so having resources, being able to talk about it, being aware of it, and not being afraid for it to be taboo is very, very important. We know that. We know that it saves lives. And making sure that individuals know you are not alone, no matter what. That was one of the reasons that we talked about and started with statistics, is it touches everyone, and you are not alone. There is someone out there that loves you, that can help you, that cares about you, and it matters. Your life matters, and you being alive matters. And those are perhaps the most significant advances that we can continue to talk about.
And I love seeing that these conversations and the, you know, training to have these conversations happening in schools. I mean, that's a huge deal. I mean, that wasn't as really a thing back in the 90s. So to have that conversation where it's like they're trained to notice these things and to have a comfortable conversation about this, that goes a long way.
Yes, we are lucky enough to work with both our city and county school system and provide additional counselors within the schools. And they are certainly trained to have a conversation. They're trained to make sure that they are looking for those warning signs and reporting when needed to be report, keeping those individuals safe, seeking additional higher levels of treatment if the individual needs it. We also have advanced with regards to evidence-based tools like the CCTR, it's the Columbia Suicide Rating Scale. We have that as professionals that we can utilize that helps us predict and determine at what level is someone at with regards to their suicidality. That has helped us to be able to determine what level of care someone needs to make sure that they have the support that they need, the right level of support. And that can be anything from an inpatient unit where our number one priority is safety for you, all the way down to that individual counselor that you see once a week, once every other week, and then also our psychiatrist that may prescribe medication if needed. And that's another kind of area of stigma that we have to just continue to break through. And I account it to someone who has diabetes. If you go to your physician and they say, you know what, you got to start taking this medication or you're not going to survive, most people take the medication, right? Most people are compliant with that medication and know that it's, to a degree, their lifeline. And we see as professionals, when medication is indicated for mental illness, that it is no different. That is your lifeline. And there is no shame in taking a medication that's going to save your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have 2 minutes left. If you could please leave listeners at home with resources that are available to them, hotlines, locations, anywhere they can turn to for help.
Definitely. 988 is a huge resource for us. There are trained individuals there ready to take crisis calls. I can't stress that enough. If you remember nothing from this talk today, remember 988. And again, you can call it, you can text it, you can receive help from that. And then also, Tanner, Willowbrook at Tanner, has many locations. Our main location is in Villarica. Again, we're open, our lobby's open 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what time, it doesn't matter who you're with, you can walk through those doors and we will help you and make sure that you get the help that you need and the right level of care that you need. You can also call us. We don't have a crisis line at Willowbrook. That's not our specialty. We like to leave that to 988. But you can call us if you need help. We do have a helpline. And so that main number is 770-836-9551. You can call that number and you can say, I need some help, and we're going to make sure it happens.
Vice President of Behavioral Health Services at Willowbrook at Tanner, Paula Gresham. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, ma'am.
Thank you.